Haskell, brother and sister. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, February 25, 1905. Dear brother and sister Haskell, I have just finished my dinner. This morning, for the first time in several weeks, I spoke to the church at the sanitarium. Of late, I have not thought it advisable for me to undertake to speak, fearing that the exertion might unfit me for the necessary work in closing up the book Ministry of Healing and the collection of material in regard to the Southern Field. I hope that the Ministry of Healing and the next volume of the Testimonies may soon be in circulation. My work now is to publish plainly the light that the Lord has given me during the past years. In my diary are thousands of pages of matter, some of which is personal testimony to individuals, but which may, if necessity demands, have to be made public. I have received word that Elder Tenney and others have taken some of the statements in my writings and are using them in such a way as to make it appear that I have advocated theories they wish to advocate, theories I have never acknowledged. Such a use of the testimonies is condemned. Dr. Kellogg was reproved for endeavoring to make it appear that the erroneous theories taught in Living Temple were to be sustained by my writings. If isolated sentences, separated from their true setting, are taken from my writings and used to substantiate erroneous positions, I must meet this effort by publishing some things that I would prefer to withhold. I am weary of trying to withstand the attempts that are being made to do violence to the truth that should be proclaimed at this time. If my words are taken by some to sustain error, I shall not be led into controversy, but I shall continue to set before the people the truth as God designs them to understand it. I shall endeavor to make my words so plain that they cannot be misinterpreted. The truth of God will be vindicated and effect the purpose that God designed it should. The mind can only be freed from error when every thread is cut that binds it to the fallacy of the enemy. A great reformation is needed among the people of God. Many sapless and unfruitful branches are to be removed from the parent vine. Everything will be shaken that can be shaken, that which cannot be shaken may remain. The enemy has worked upon the minds of some and has led them to do violence to our past experience by mingling with the truth erroneous and false theories. He has led ministers and teachers to weave into their doctrines some pleasing figures of his own invention. Every deviation from the truth, as we have advocated it in the past, is a departure from truth that has been witnessed by the Holy Spirit, and upon which God has placed His seal. Truth must stand in its own order, linked only with truth. Unbelief disturbs the balance of the system of truth and tends to destroy the whole. The mind that cherishes sentiments that tend to destroy the foundation of the faith that has made us what we are becomes confused and cannot discern between truth and error. The truths that have been substantiated by the manifest working of God are to stand fast. Let no one presume to move a pin or a foundation stone from the structure. Those who attempt to undermine the pillars of our faith are among those of whom the Bible says that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. One step from the path in which God has ordained us to walk places us where we are subject to the temptations of Satan. This is represented in the case of Adam and Eve. Outside of God's way, we may be led to believe a lie, but angels of God will commune with those who obey His laws. Let mind and heart be united in following in the light that God has given. Keep soul and body pure and clean and holy. When we do those things that God has commanded in His Word, angels of God will act as our teachers. Our happiness is dependent upon our living a righteous life. Let not the mind be occupied with sophistry, with strained applications or misinterpretations of the word. Such action of the mind leads into false paths, and, once started in such a path, it is often the case that an individual, thinking that a confession of his sin will lower his dignity, goes on and on in a similar course. And the further he goes, the more easily will he be beguiled by Satan, until it becomes for him forever too late for repentance and forsaking of sin, because he would not consent to heed the words of Christ. We are subject to certain laws, even as the plants are subject to law. Every tree will bear its appointed fruit. Disobedience to the laws that govern our being result in sickness and suffering and death.
The soul is also subject to laws, and a disregard of these laws, by the resting and misinterpretation of Scripture, will result in the sickness and death of the soul. Those following in a path of error lose from the heart the genuine peace of Christ and become like the troubled sea, casting up mire and dirt. Spiritual life is the result of the action of the soul in obedience to the Word and in harmony with the laws of God. Let the soul be regulated by the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. This do, and thou shalt live. Luke 10, verse 27-28.